Support for Up to Date is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here, where it matters.
Welcome to the Up to Date podcast from WVIA News on this Wednesday morning. I'm Lydia McFarlane, in for your host, Sarah Cento, and I'm here to bring you some of our newsroom's most interesting and informative stories. Today, we'll talk about financial changes coming to Wyoming Seminary, the sentencing of a former Southern Columbia football player, and how a raft trip helped people find common ground. It's Wednesday, July 22nd. Let's get you up to date. Let's start with some state news. Prosecutors across the state hope the state house will vote on a bill by Friday that sets a new sentencing framework for second-degree murder. Tom Reese reports for WVIA.
A defendant can be charged for second-degree murder if they participate in a crime that leads to a killing, even if they didn't directly cause a death. Take a getaway driver, for example. But in March, the state Supreme Court ruled that a life sentence for such crimes was unconstitutional. The court gave Harrisburg until Friday night to agree on new guidelines. Still, it wasn't until late Tuesday that the House scheduled a voting session for Thursday. To meet the deadline, they'd have to approve a bill that gives some offenders a shot at parole while keeping others behind bars for life. Among those calling for a vote are State Attorney General Dave Sunday, who said that as a career prosecutor,
there are times when I will tell you where a life sentence is absolutely the just outcome.
If no bill is passed, more than 1,000 lifers could appeal their sentences, with courts deciding their punishment case by case. Reporting from Harrisburg, Tom Reese.
WVIA's Roger Dupuy talked with Northeast Pennsylvania District Attorneys and lawmakers about their views on the sentencing issue that you just heard about. You can read that full story on our website, WVIA.org. And now to Luzerne County, where Wyoming Seminary eliminated the jobs of 22 employees this week while making plans for financial stability moving forward. WVIA's Sarah Hofius Hall has more.
The Independent Day and Boarding School in Luzerne County alerted families, alumni, and other supporters of a significant financial shortfall for the 2026-27 school year. In a letter, School President Martin Mooney and Tara Mugford Wilson, chair of the Board of Trustees, called the decisions difficult, but also purposeful and forward-looking. Like most independent schools, SEM's tuition does not cover the full cost of education. Over time, as operating costs have increased, revenue has not grown enough to cover the expenses. Publicly available tax filings show the school had a shortfall of about $500,000 last year. The prior year, the school saw a shortfall of $1.8 million. Over the last decade, enrollment has declined by 9%. The board and administration conducted a comprehensive review of finances over the last few weeks and have taken immediate steps to increase revenue and reduce expenses. Those measures include eliminating the jobs of 22 employees. They received notice on Monday. The school says the cuts will not reduce academic, athletic, arts, or student life programming planned for this coming year. Leaders say they remain confident in Wyoming Seminary's mission, people, and future. I'm Sarah Hofius Hall, WVIA News.
You can find more information about the changes at Wyoming Seminary in Luzerne County and read Sarah's full story on our website, WVIA.org. A former football star at Southern Columbia High School who played at Penn State and Ohio State has landed in prison. WVIA's Boris Krauchenyuk has the story on how Julian Krishan Fleming got there.
A judge sentenced Julian Krishan Fleming on Monday to spend 9 to 23 months in the Bradford County prison for accidentally killing his girlfriend in an ATV crash last year. Fleming was a star player at football powerhouse Southern Columbia High School and a top national recruit who didn't really pan out in college. On a Friday night in May of last year, he drove an ATV with his girlfriend riding along. The ATV hit a deer. The crash killed the girlfriend, Alyssa Boyd, and the deer. Fleming survived and told police he drank 5 or 6 beers that day. A blood test showed he was legally drunk. He was originally charged with homicide by motor vehicle while driving under the influence and similar counts. They all could have landed him in prison for years. but Bradford County District Attorney Richard Wilson said he didn't think he could convict Fleming of the more serious charges. He said connecting the DUI to the death when the deer caused the accident would be difficult, so a jury might not buy in. So Wilson let Fleming plead guilty to involuntary manslaughter, which carries lesser penalties. Wilson called the case extremely unfortunate. Boyd, a Central Columbia graduate, was a standout athlete herself in soccer, track, and basketball. She was studying psychology at the University of Alabama and was supposed to graduate last December. Her obituary said she was outgoing, loved life, and could light up any room with her amazing and beautiful energy. I'm Boris Krawchenyuk, WVIA News.
Find Boris's full story on our website, wvia.org. There's more to come from Up to Date just after this short break. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Sarah Hofius Hall. WVIA News brings you the best information we can find, telling the stories that impact you the most. Head to wvia.org to read and hear how we report to you.
Welcome back. This is Up to Date from WVIA News, and I'm Lydia McFarlane, filling in for Sarah Cento. Let's get back to the news. If you've been following WVIA News at all for the past few years, you know our very own Kat Bolus loves an outdoor story. She joined WVIA's Sarah Cento in the podcast studio for this week's episode of News Voices to tell us about a unique whitewater rafting trip with an interesting mission.
Hello and welcome to News Voices, your weekly look behind the scenes at WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cento. Thanks for joining us. So if you've been following WVIA News at all for the past few years, you know our own Kat Bolus loves an outdoor story. Today, she is here to tell us about a unique whitewater rafting trip with an interesting mission. Hi, Kat.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for getting off the boat to join us.
Yes.
So tell us about this rafting trip you took.
Yeah, so it's called Raft for America, and it was started by a man named Ken Powley, who owns Whitewater Challengers in Weatherly. It's takes people, there's a campground, and they have a whole slew of guides that take people whitewater rafting down the Lehigh River. He considers himself more conservative, but he has a paddling friend, Chris, who considers himself more liberal. And in 2021, they went to a workshop or something in Los Angeles, and they realized that the country is so polarized, and we all need to be in the same, we all need to realize that we're in the same boat together.
Hey.
So they started a nonprofit called Team Democracy, and then in 2024, Team Democracy started Raft for America. So essentially what they do is they take groups of people, whitewater rafting, it's across the country, it's not just down the Lehigh River. They take people whitewater rafting across the country, and they pair you. There's an extensive interview process. People apply, and they pair you with people, not necessarily like you're a Republican and you're a Democrat, you're going to be on a boat together. It's just people who have different ideologies, different backgrounds, different life experiences, and they put them in a boat, and they make them work together to kind of, you know, work through rapids, make sure no one falls off the boat, the boat doesn't flip over. So that's kind of like the essence of it. And in the end, you're supposed to realize, and I think most people do realize, that we are all in the same boat together.
So what was your experience like? You were not only covering this, but you did participate in it, right?
Yeah, so it was a great experience. So we did 11 miles in total. I believe there was 10 rapids, but I got on the boat with all my audio gear. So I had my audio gear wrapped in like gallon freezer bags. One of the guide on the first raft I was on is actually a former journalist from the New York Times and the Philadelphia Inquirer. Mm-hmm. So she was lovely to meet, but she had a dry bag with a screen in the front of it. So she was like, put all your gear in here. So I'm in my life vest with all my gear. I had my shotgun mic, and you know, sometimes like it's just natural to participate in the conversation. So, you know, I was chatting with the people in both of the different rafts that I went into. But for the most part, I was just kind of observing the conversation, and it really touched on so many topics. We talked about birding at one point, but then we talked about mining in Schuylkill County, and we talked about data centers, of course, and there was just the topics were wide ranging, and everyone just had a really good time. You know, the conversation would pause as we would go through a rapid, and then everyone would just kind of work together, and no one fell out of a boat. I mean, everyone was a little wet because you're whitewater rafting, but yeah. Everyone seemed, you know, and the people I spoke to at the end of the day had a really good time.
That's awesome. And so you said before that you think that they're achieving their goals. Why do you think that based on your experience?
So Senator Dave Argall was one of the participants, and he had participated a few years ago, and he was paired with a constituent. And they ended up, you know, as the story goes, they ended up really seeing eye to eye on stuff where this former constituent had never thought she would agree with him on anything. So I think really it just offers people FaceTime with people who don't have who have different lives than them, who have different thoughts and feelings from them. And it just makes you find common ground, and it makes you understand each other better.
All right. Well, Kat, thank you so much for your reporting on this and for taking this adventure. And we look forward to seeing more.
Thanks.
And now for a state story with national implications. State leaders are highlighting Penn State's contributions to military and national security research. For WVIA, Sydney Roach reports on a recent defense summit held near Harrisburg.
Dave McCormick, one of Pennsylvania's two U.S. senators, organized this year's inaugural Pennsylvania Defense and Innovation Summit in Carlisle. McCormick says Pennsylvania has always been at the center of the country's national defense.
We also are on the cutting edge of innovation, drones, AI, autonomy, robots, where that's where the future is headed in terms of what our military capabilities need to be.
McCormick spoke in a panel discussion moderated by Neely Bendapudi, Penn State's president. Bendapudi touted the university's ongoing relationship with the U.S. Department of Defense.
At Penn State University, $1.45 billion of research, 30% is from defense, from the DOD. And we are in the top three universities for what we do for R&D for DOD.
The university recently signed a new 10-year agreement with the U.S. Army to provide environmental, architectural, and engineering support services. So far this year, a Penn State spokesperson says the Department of Defense has awarded the university more than $500 million. Most of it is going to the university's Applied Research Lab, which is a DOD-designated research center. In State College, I'm Sydney Roach.
You can find all of these stories and more on our website, WVIA.org. This has been Up to Date with me, WVIA's Lydia McFarlane. Remember to subscribe and listen every weekday. You can find Up to Date on WVIA.org and wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday and your week.